Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. Today's episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, otherwise known as Soli, every day on the Locked On MLB podcast for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories. Locked On Major League Baseball is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcast from. In today's episode, we're going to break down the Angels' 5-1 loss and talk about Shohei Ohtani doing basically everything possible on a baseball field in this start. So we're going to break down the game itself. We're going to talk about what Ohtani did on the mounds in his 7 innings of one-run baseball. We're going to talk about his season numbers as a whole, both as a hitter and a pitcher. We're going to kind of pivot to talking about whether or not he should have been pulled from the game. And then we're going to kind of switch over to some discussion about the Angels prospects and some notable performers so far. And we're going to finish on some roster moves and a little update on the Oakland A's and their stadium situation. But before we get into the episode, as usual, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at BMags94, the podcast at Locked On Angels. You can find my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. And if you have not done so already, make sure to download, subscribe, rate, and review the Locked On Angels podcast wherever you get your podcast from. So happy Wednesday. Hope you are doing well. The Angels game last night had a lot going in it and it felt like it was going to be a very positive outcome to the game until it wasn't. So it was a frustrating ending to the game. There was still a lot of exciting stuff and mainly had to do with what Shohei Ohtani did. Look, we talked about this yesterday. He was most likely going to dominate the conversation today. That's exactly what's going to happen. We're going to spend most of this episode talking about what he did on the field yet again as a pitcher. Before we do that, I kind of want to briefly just go over this game. The Angels did lose 5-1, and what's kind of, I would say, interesting about this game was this felt like the type of game that the Angels should be winning because of what Shohei Ohtani was doing and the unique circumstances of him going that deep into a game and being that effective. And you kind of compare it to the day before when the Angels, it felt like they had no business winning that game and somehow pulled it off. So it felt like things just happened to even out in 2 straight games. But yeah, I mean, this was a straight pitcher's duel. Shohei Ohtani pitches 7 innings of one-run baseball, strikes out 10 batters. We're going to dive into this a little bit more in a bit. But I mean, Lance McCullers Jr. basically matched what Ohtani did, went 8 innings on the mound, was absolutely dominant for the Astros. 3 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts, and was able to get the win because once Shohei Ohtani was pulled from the game and moved to right field, which again, we'll talk about this here in a little bit, the Astros just picked apart the Angels bullpen. It was pretty bad. There was one case where a shift was on. It could have been an inning-ending double play. It extended the inning, and the Astros ended up putting 4 runs on the board, and that was basically the game. So kind of a disappointing game just because of the circumstances surrounding Ohtani and the fact that he just simply hasn't done this very often in his career in terms of going deeper into games. But all in all, I feel like it's kind of hard to be too upset at the outcome of this game. Yes, losing a game stinks. Yes, it stinks when Shohei Ohtani did what he did and was still not able to leave with a win. But you've got to give the Astros credit. They did what they needed to do in this game. Lance McCullers Jr. looked fantastic. That's probably the best I've ever seen him look in any start that I've seen him. The offense came up big when they needed to. It was just a case of a pretty good Astros team beating the Angels team. And I really think it's probably not as straightforward as that, but that's kind of how I'm trying to approach this. And we'll kind of circle back on this game a little bit in the second part of this episode. I want to kind of talk about the decision to pull Shohei Ohtani. But I first want to talk about Ohtani on the mound, go a little bit further in depth on the start, because this was an extremely good start from Shohei Ohtani. As I mentioned, he went 7 innings, struck out 10 batters, walked just one, allowed 4 hits, and allowed 1 run. That came on a home run from Kyle Tucker. You're looking even deeper if you looked at his called strike plus whiff percentage, which is exactly what it sounds like. How many swinging strikes are you getting and how many called strikes are you getting? 39% of his pitches were either called strikes or whiffs, and that is an elite rate for a starting pitcher. And his strike rate, I think this is the most encouraging aspect of this outing. It's the 70.5% walk rate. You look at that, you look at the one walk in this game. I mean, Ohtani was leading the majors in terms of walks for all starting pitchers coming into this game. So this was a huge improvement for him. And I think it was pretty obvious right away that we were going to see a different version of him, because Ohtani's first inning struggles this year are kind of well documented. He just seems to struggle to get going in the first inning for whatever reason. That was not the case in this game. He allows a leadoff single to Jose Altuve, but strikes out 2 more batters in the inning, throws 12 pitches in the first inning, gets through a clean second inning, gets through a clean third inning. All of a sudden, he's got 33 pitches through the first 3 innings. I mean, he was approaching that number for the first innings and a lot of his other outings this year. So, it was obvious very early on that he was going to not only pitch effectively, but go deeper into the game. And I think what was so different about this Ohtani start was he never really lost it at any point. And even though Ohtani has pitched really well up until this game, there were some of those moments in individual games where he just lost his command. I mean, it would just come and go really without any sort of warning sign. That was not the case in this game. And we saw extremely good command, basically every single pitch. The fastball command was as good as it's been the entire year. He was doing a very good job of throwing it for strikes low in the zone. And then when he needed strikeouts or a whiff, he would go up in the zone. The splitter, as usual, was just simply disgusting. Got a ton of whiffs on it. Got a lot of called strikes with the pitch as well, which was a nice added bonus. The slider had as much horizontal movement as I've seen this year. Had a couple of just really, just incredible sliders, including one to Jose Altuve. That, again, it just looked like it was video game type stuff. And even the curveball, he didn't throw many of them, but he did throw one particular one to Martin Maldonado that got a strikeout, and man, it was a lot of fun. This was by far the best that Shohei Ohtani has looked on the mound this year, and you look at what he did. 7 innings and 10 strikeouts. He's only reached those two numbers in a start 2 times in his career. Last night and his first home start at Angel Stadium back in 2018, if you remember correctly. That was the game where he took a no-hitter into the 7th inning, just absolutely dominated in his first outing at Angel Stadium. So this was the best start that we've seen from Shohei Ohtani in quite some time. And you're probably aware, and you probably have some thoughts and feelings about him being pulled from the game, but I'll circle back on that here in a little bit. He got pulled after 88 pitches. But I mean, just as a whole, this was an incredible performance from Shohei Ohtani. And as I kind of briefly mentioned before, his outing did not end after he was pulled from the mound, or he wasn't technically pulled. He got through his 7th inning of work, and then the very next inning, they put him out in right field for Taylor Ward. And this was something that we have not seen so far. Yes, he played left field in basically a garbage game the last time the Angels were in Houston, but this was the first time that we saw Ohtani out there in a meaningful game playing the outfield. Didn't really make any plays. He had a couple of opportunities to maybe catch a ball or throw a guy out at third base, but ultimately didn't really do much of anything out there. But again, it's completely abnormal to see a guy do what he did on the mound, look as good as he did, and then just casually make his way over to right field so that he could possibly bat one more time in the game. It's just another reminder of how unique of a situation this really is. And I kind of wanted to wrap up this Ohtani segment with just looking at the numbers as a whole, because some of these numbers, again, they're incredible. If you look at his numbers as a hitter this season, he's hitting 265, 312, 591. His 150 weighted runs created plus means he is 50% better than the league average hitter. He's got 10 home runs, 6 stolen bases, and he's been worth 1.1 wins above replacement as a hitter. On the mound, 25 and two-thirds innings, a 2.10 ERA, a 36.4% strikeout rate, and 0.5 wins above replacement. You add it all up, he's got 1.6 wins above replacement. That's better only by 12 other players in Major League Baseball. And you might think that, well, he's doing two things at once. I mean, of course he's going to get more value, but I kind of look at it from the opposite angle. The fact that he's doing both of these things and doing them as well as he is just a testament to his insane ability as a two-way player. And this is, it's not hyperbole to say that this guy is performing like an MVP caliber player. And it's just been so much fun. Last little point, because I felt like I had to share this. At the plate, Shohei Ohtani's got 10 home runs. Only one other player, Ronald Acuna Jr., has hit more home runs. You look at what he's done on the mound. That 2.10 ERA trails only 15 starting pitchers for any pitcher that's made 20 or more innings. And on the bases, Ohtani's 6 stolen bases trail only 5 players. I mean, you're looking at some just ginormous numbers that Ohtani is posting, and it is just simply incredible to see him putting all of this together. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to circle back on this decision to pull Shohei Ohtani. I've got a few thoughts on this, and then we're going to pivot over to some prospect talk, because that is something that I have not incorporated as much so far. So we're going to dive into some of that, and we're going to talk about some of the transactions the Angels made on Tuesday. But first, let's take a break. Let me tell you about Sports Trade. Have you guys heard about Sports Trade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. Sports Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robinhood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. This is a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports, and they just added baseball to the platform, so check it out. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Again, sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market right now. Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, including the occasional limited time flavor. Some of those flavors include coconut, raspberry, and mint brownie, and they are absolutely delicious. And not only are Built Bars the best tasting protein bars, they're also extremely healthy. Most bars have 17 grams of protein. They are low in calories, low in sugar, and low in carbs. So if you go to BuiltBar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON15, you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So I want to circle back on the Ohtani thing just for a few minutes, because there was some backlash to the decision to pull Shohei Ohtani, and I've become accustomed to fans of teams second-guessing their managers when a starter's maybe pulled a little too early, or at least perceived to be pulled a little too early. Shohei Ohtani had 88 pitches, and every indication showed that he was pitching great. It's possible that he might have been able to go out for another inning, maybe a couple of batters, whatever. And I think it makes it even worse when you see what transpired the following inning. The Angels bullpen literally imploded, allowing 4 runs, and the game was basically over. And as you might expect, Angels fans were upset, and some of you that are listening might feel the same way. And I do understand the frustration about it. I do. I think the ending to the game, it kind of sucked, just given what had transpired earlier in the game. It was a lot of fun to see what Ohtani was doing on the mound. It kind of felt like this was a game the Angels could win, and if they could pull it off, it was going to be yet another big win to push them in the right direction. And instead, went the opposite direction, the bullpen blew it, and the game was over. I do want to take a step back and just recognize that 88 pitches for Shohei Ohtani is not some tiny figure for him, especially considering what he's gone through over the last few years. Yes, he has had some starts this year where he's gotten into the 80 or so pitch range. He's gone above 90 in a start. So you're probably thinking, why not put him out there for one more inning, especially considering everything that we've talked about here today? My only question about this and my only concern about pushing Ohtani too much is we've really got to look at the long-term picture for Ohtani. It's been awesome to see what he's been able to do. Doing both of these things at the highest possible level has been super fun, but there is an inherent risk involved when you're trying to do both, and if you're thinking about pushing him above 100 pitches or so, that's taking his injury risk to the next level. Now, if Ohtani is feeling fine, if he felt like he could have gone out there for another inning, maybe that's a different story, because we've kind of talked about this before. I'm at the point where we've seen what happened before when the Angels tried to do the workload thing with Ohtani, and it didn't really work all that well. So I'm kind of a believer of let Ohtani do what he wants to do, listen to his body, and go from there. But based on where Ohtani was in this game and based on what the Angels offense was doing, I don't know if keeping him out there for another couple of batters was actually going to make a difference in the long run. At some point, the Angels were going to have to go to the bullpen. And I think the unfortunate circumstances from this game was Raisel Iglesias and Mike Myers were very likely not available for this game. They had both pitched in back-to-back days, and Joe Maddon said after the game that Tony Watson was also unavailable. So that was arguably three of your best relievers. Remember, Chris Rodriguez is still on the injured list. That means your top three guys were basically not available to pitch. So this made it a tough game to, and this is where we run into this, I would say the backlash is like fans would say, okay, well, why not keep Ohtani out there with the bullpen being as thin as it was? And I think it's a totally fair point. I'm just trying to look at the long-term picture and recognize that Ohtani is the most valuable Angels player outside of Mike Trout. There is no question about that. And there has to be some point where you're saying, okay, he's done a great job for us tonight. We're not going to push him any more than this. Again, if he's talking to Joe Maddon and the Angels and saying, you know what, I think I can go a little bit more, that might be a different story. But to be honest with you, I've got no problem with the decision-making that Joe Maddon made in terms of Ohtani. This could change as the season goes along. I'm trying to take this long-term approach and not let one bad ending to this game change the way that I'm viewing this process. If there is one complaint that I have from that inning as a whole, it wasn't pulling Shohei Ohtani on the mound. It was the Angels shifting the way that they did. This is probably going to be a topic for another episode. We probably don't have time today. But the Angels and their shifting this year, the results are not there. Now, we've kind of gone over the Angels' really wacky numbers right now. Their pitchers lead the majors in batting average on balls in play. They have the lowest strand rate in the majors. That might be a byproduct of a bad pitching staff. It's also very likely that this is just something that's really unlucky that is going to regress in a positive way. That being said, the Angels and their shifting philosophy this year seems like it needs some adjusting. I mean, you look at that pitch that Aledmys Diaz hit to the right side of the infield. Look, this is the same double play ball I was referring to earlier. If the Angels had had a normal alignment on this play, they get out of the inning, the eighth inning, with no runs allowed. Instead, the inning extends and the Angels allow four runs to come across. Now, I don't want to look at one specific case of the shift and say, oh, look, see, the shift doesn't work. But in the Angels' case, the numbers have not been as pretty this year. And just simply looking at this individual event, they threw a breaking ball on the outer half of the plate. And kudos to Aledmys Diaz for taking it the other way. But why are you throwing a pitch on the outside half if you're shifting to the pole side with a right-handed hitter. That, to me, was my biggest complaint. And I really do want to see, or at least hear from the Angels, why they're shifting the way they have so far this year, because I do think that is helping lead to some of their bad luck this year, and it's something that maybe could be fixed, and that's not a pitching thing, that's a coaching thing, and I would very much like to see if that's something that the Angels could fix. And so I want to wrap up this Angel segment with a few things. First things first, the Angels did have some roster moves before the game. Quite a bit happening in this set of moves we saw. Jose Suarez was optioned to AAA. Junior Guerra was placed on the injured list. They called up Jaime Barria and former friend and Angel, Noe Ramirez, who again made his way back to the Angels. But maybe the most surprising thing from this set of moves was Felix Pena was outrighted to AAA. Now, I understand it can get really confusing with all of the vernacular when it comes to optioning players and stuff. Outrighting means the Angels basically tried to put Felix Pena through waivers and then put him back in AAA. And if he was outrighted and made it to AAA, that means no other team put in a claim for him. So that is definitely not a good sign for Pena. And quite frankly, it's a little disappointing. I had higher expectations for him this year. And it's not just the Angels that are concerned. It appears that other teams across the sport are as well. So last little thing about the Angels. I'm going to try to do this a little bit more often. And I've got to be fully honest, this wasn't something I had to worry about as much last year, because if you'll remember, there was not a minor league baseball season, so this was not something I had to focus on as much. So I do apologize. I am going to try to bring this in a little bit more. But there were two guys I wanted to touch on, and they're the most important Angels prospects, or two of the most important prospects. First guy, Joe Adell, has hit 3 home runs already this season. He had a multi-home run game on Monday night for Salt Lake. We saw a lot of positive things from him in spring training. I like what I'm seeing so far with the swing. It appears that he's a little bit cleaner with his mechanics. There's a little bit less noise with just everything. The load, the leg kick, the swing. I mean, everything is looking a little bit better. And there was a side-by-side that our former friend, former host of the podcast, Taylor Blake Ward, did a side-by-side of Joe Adell's swing and Fernando Tatis Jr., and the similarities are there. That's not to say that Adell is going to be Tatis Jr. It's just to say that there are some similarities in the power and the swing that we see from both of those guys. So Adell is very clearly one of the most important guys in the entire organization, and is almost certainly going to be up at some point this year. The other guy I want to touch on is Reed Detmers, who had a weird intro to his minor league career. Didn't pitch last year, obviously, with no season, and is scheduled for his first start this year, and that game gets rained out. He gets pushed back a day, doesn't pitch all that well, has one really long inning that basically forces him out of the game. Well, we saw a much better outing from him, and this is, I pulled this from Turk's Teeth, who is a staff writer at Crashing the Pearly Gates. This was his tweet. It says, much better outing for Reed Detmers tonight in his second start. He was consistently ahead in the count. 4 2/3 innings. Command was sharp, curve locating in the zone. He had 9 strikeouts. 8 of them were swinging. Made 2 mistakes for solo home runs, but was fooling hitters on high heat and the breaking ball. So this is a big development for the Angels. The velocity has been up a little bit, kind of creeping into the lower, low to mid 90s. The curveball is obviously great. Detmers, much like Adell, one of the most important guys in the entire organization. And I would be shocked if this guy was not up in the majors at some point this year. And that's a pretty awesome revelation for a guy that just threw his first minor league pitch a couple of weeks ago. So we're going to take one final break before we get out of here. But first, let me tell you about BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all of the action at BetOnline. So make sure to head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today at betonline.ag and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Check out the Locked On Today podcast with Peter Bukowski. He updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. So make sure to follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from. So there's a lot happening with the Angels right now. They are tied 1-1 in this series. They have their final game of this series today before an off day tomorrow, and then they travel to Boston. So I think I've got everything covered for the Angels as of right now. There was one news item I wanted to touch on just very briefly, and that's the Oakland A's. If you're a baseball fan, you've very likely seen the news that came out from ESPN's Jeff Passan about the A's and their relocation. So I'm not going to go into this full story, but it sounds like the Oakland A's were essentially presented an ultimatum. Build a new stadium, or you're going to have to find a new city to play. And they're basically saying that the Oakland Coliseum is not conducive for holding baseball games any longer. And as someone who is an Angels fan and has seen the Angels play the A's 19 times a year for the last 20 years or so, there's some sort of respect that I do have for Oakland. And quite frankly, I've had a lot of fun going to games up there. And I really do think that there's a lot of good baseball fans in that general area. So I would very much like to see this situation figure itself out. I would struggle to see the A's playing anywhere else but Oakland. So this was just a brief little thing I wanted to touch on and keep you up to date with. The A's are kind of in a messy situation right now, and that's big news for a team that plays in the same division as the Angels. But I believe that is all I have for today. So as always, thank you for joining. Stay safe out there, and we will talk some Angels baseball on Thursday.